Well, I don't know about you, but I'm excited this morning because it's just one of those things that, you know, when you go into scripture and you just begin to read and it just stirs you and it just excites you. And it's always exciting when we focus on the things of God, when we focus on Christ Jesus and Holy Spirit. And this morning, I want us on this Pentecost Sunday to particularly think about the work and the power of Holy Spirit and who He is, the one working in each one of us. Because the ministry of Holy Spirit is one of God's greatest gifts to us. Did you know that? The ministry and the work of Holy Spirit is one of God's greatest gifts to us, to His people. His work, the work of Holy Spirit, is so important that Jesus, when He returned to heaven, promised that He would send Holy Spirit to help us and to equip us. He said He wouldn't leave us as orphans, but He would send a comforter, a healer, so that we might be thoroughly equipped for the work of the gospel. And that's good to know. I don't know about you, but I get excited to know that, knowing that it doesn't all hang on me, and you should get excited as well, knowing that it doesn't all hang on you. It's not dependent on you, because there is someone living in you who has enabled and equipped you to do the work. Holy Spirit, we read earlier on in Acts chapter 2, came powerfully. He came, and it says that He came as a mighty, or He showed Himself, demonstrated Himself as a mighty rushing wind. But He didn't come in just a moment. He didn't just come for a spiritual moment of wonder where people say, wow, what is happening here? But He came and made His home in men. He came to minister to those who have surrendered hearts, open hearts, to what God wants to do by His Spirit. Why? Because Holy Spirit, He is the Spirit of truth. He's the one who brings truth. He speaks what is true. He reveals what is true. And He leads us ever closer, nearer and nearer, to the truth about who He is, but more importantly, the truth about who Christ Jesus is. The Word tells us that none of us, without exception, have ever been able to declare that Jesus is Lord except by Holy Spirit. The fact that He brings the conviction, He brings the revelation, and we come to that point where we see Jesus for who He is. So you cannot work it out. You will not work out who Jesus is with your natural understanding. I said at the beginning, we are absolutely and totally dependent on Holy Spirit to bring us into the revelation of Christ Jesus. When He works in the life of every believer, He's the one who guides us, gently guides us into truth. He's the one who reminds us that Jesus has spoken in His Word and by His Spirit. Holy Spirit is the one who reminds us. He's the one who reveals what is to come. He's the one who assures us of our eternal future. But, and there is a but, it does require openness. It does require an open heart. At times it requires open hands. It requires a posture of surrender in the life of the believer where we say, come, Holy Spirit, do whatever You want to do. I'm available. I'm here. I'm listening. I'm waiting. We learn, we wait, and we learn to walk with Him. What a walk when He reveals Himself to us. You see, when we receive by faith Holy Spirit into our lives, those who know Jesus, those who walk in the Spirit, begin to see life in a different way. We begin to see life with the eyes of faith. And in fact, the conference last week or the week before, that was the theme, the eyes of faith. And when Holy Spirit, when we give him full surrender, full reign in our lives, then we begin to see with the eyes of faith. You see, the world struggles, in the natural, the world struggles to understand spiritual things. The world struggles to understand who Jesus is. The world struggles to believe that there is more to this life than what we see with our natural eyes. But Holy Spirit is the one who brings the revelation. He's the one who opens our hearts and opens our spiritual eyes that we might see and know the heart of God and know his purposes. Go with me if you would and into 1 Corinthians. For 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verses, and I'm going to read verses 9 to 16. And it just reminds us what I've just said. 1 Corinthians 2 verses 9 to 16. It tells us this, but as it is written, as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things, listen, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. In other words, if we want to know the heart of God, if we want to know the character and the nature of God, we need Holy Spirit, because he's the one who brings the revelation. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. For the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Have you ever wondered why you look around and you think, how do they know Jesus? How do they know God? Well, it's because they've opened up their hearts to the spiritual things of kingdom. And as we read here, we will never ever be able to discern or to understand the things of God, the things of kingdom, in a natural way. The spiritual person judges all things, but he himself is to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that Holy Spirit no longer makes his dwelling in bricks and mortar, but he has made his dwelling in the hearts of men and women? And in fact, above all those things, Holy Spirit is the one, it says in Colossians 1:27, that reveals Christ in us, the hope of glory. How do you know that you are a child of God? Because Holy Spirit is the one who makes it known, the one who reveals it, the one who brings assurance. Yesterday I spoke using an analogy of a mobile phone and an operating system, and I talked about the fact that one of the things an operating system does when you download it onto your phone is that it improves the security on your phone. It's the latest version, it improves the security. And Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the security, the assurance to know that we belong to God. He's the one who gives us the security to know that when this mortal life is over, we can say with a certainty where we will be in eternity. He's the one who gives us the security, not our own reasoning and understanding, but Holy Spirit himself. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus spoke about this relationship, about Holy Spirit. He mentions it in John 14, 15 to 17. It says this. It says, "If you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will what? Give you another helper to be with you forever." Not momentarily, for a particular circumstance, but forever. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he what? Dwells in you and will be in you." Be assured, take comfort from the fact that Holy Spirit is the one who lives and dwells in us. It reveals the fact that Jesus tells us that Holy Spirit lives in us. It reveals something both deeply comforting and profoundly holy. And it's this, that the living God is now inside of us, shaping us, equipping us, strengthening us, comforting us, and drawing us ever closer into the purposes of God. Holy Spirit is the one who does that. Holy Spirit is the one who is looking for people with surrendered hearts. Hearts, people who are willing to be open. Holy Spirit is the one who comes to reveal the love of God, the love of the Father. He's the one who imparts both wisdom and power. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, the Word tells us, lives in us. It's not something else. It's not a lesser amount, but it's the same power, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is now alive and working in us. Amen? And that should make us different people, understanding who we are. But the reality is this, that there is, I understand this, that there is a struggle that sometimes goes on in the hearts of men and women. There is a struggle that sometimes goes on in our lives, because sometimes we don't grasp, we don't fully understand to full measure who we are in Christ Jesus by the enabling and the power of Holy Spirit. And we live short. We fall short of the standards, Scripture tells us that anyway, but we fall short of who God has called us to be because we fail to be to live in the fullness of everything that God tells us we can be through the power and enabling of Holy Spirit. You see, when we understand that we are forgiven, when we understand that we are a Spirit-filled people, when we understand that we are the temples of the living God, the place where Holy Spirit himself dwells, when we understand those things, we live differently. We live confidently. We live boldly. We live courageously. We live as those with a hope, because we carry hope. We are carriers of hope into the dark places, into the difficult places, into the margins of society. We pray with faith. We become those living witnesses for Christ Jesus, because we know that he has equipped us for everything necessary, for every good work. We know that we live in a generation that needs Jesus. It was the same then, and nothing has changed. Every single generation, every single nation on the earth is in need of Christ Jesus. This is a generation with a great need, and Holy Spirit has not left us impotent and powerless, but He has given us, He has equipped us to be those who transform and change society and community. The question is not whether God is willing to move. The question is whether we are willing to listen, whether we're willing to hear and to act in confidence and power. You might, in the natural, might be a timid, naturally timid person, but when you release the power of Holy Spirit, when you don't hold Him back, you become someone different. You become the person that God intended you to be. And I know sometimes you have those moments, don't you, where you wish you were more confident. But our confidence is not in our natural ability in ourselves. Our confidence flows and stems from Holy Spirit who lives in us. Jesus said, we've read, whoever has my commands and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and show myself to him. You see, the love of God, the love of Jesus is not measured just by words. Jesus, of course, declares that he loves us and has loved us with an everlasting love. But his love is not just measured by words. His love is measured by a demonstration of Holy Spirit, the power, the transforming power of Holy Spirit who lives in us. We are called to be a people of power. We are called to be a people of open hands, open hearts, a people willing to go wherever the Spirit leads, a people willing to do whatever the Spirit calls us to do. That's obedience. It's not a burdensome religion, and most of you out there know that we don't talk about religion, we talk about relationship. Because it's relationship with Christ Jesus. It's relationship with Holy Spirit. And knowing Holy Spirit brings us into that the knowledge that we can have a relationship with our Father God in heaven. And Christ Jesus is the one who has made the way and made it possible that we can enjoy that relationship. Holy Spirit helps us. He speaks what he hears from the Father and reveals it to us so we can know the heart of God. We can know the heart of God because God desires to reveal his character and his nature to us. He's not a distant God. He's not divorced from human affair, but he is a God who has entered into our circumstance. And Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the wisdom for our daily decisions. He's the one who prompts us toward acts of faith. He's the one who prompts us and stirs us toward acts of courage, toward kindness and truth. But there has to be a willingness on our part. And sometimes we're afraid. I know that there's maybe sat here in this space that maybe some of you are uncertain about how he works, what Holy Spirit will do. But he's gentle, and he's looking for people who will cooperate, work in partnership with him. He's not a dictator. He doesn't come and bulldoze his way in and make you do silly things. It's not like a puppet on a string where Holy Spirit suddenly takes over and we've got no control. He's a gentle God. And he's looking for a people who have open hearts and open hands. As I was preparing for this morning, some of you will know S.M. Lockridge, his now famous speech or message, "That's My King." Many of you will know it. That's my king. And as I was preparing, I was prompted to think, what does it look like if we were to talk about Holy Spirit in the same way. And so because I am a creative, I sat down and wrote something about Holy Spirit in a similar vein. Actually, would you come back up, please? Would you come back up? Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Because we want, you know, I want to give opportunity for people to receive ministry and maybe for the first time this morning, receive a baptism in the Holy Spirit. But this is who Holy Spirit is. And I simply call this, that's Holy Spirit. The Bible says he's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of holiness. He's the Spirit of wisdom. He's the Spirit of revelation. He's the Spirit of grace. He's the Spirit of glory. He's the Spirit, the one who is the comforter. He's the helper. He's the breath of the Almighty. And he is the Spirit of the living God. That's Holy Spirit. The Bible says in the beginning, he moved upon the face of the waters. The prophet spoke as he carried them along. He overshadowed a virgin and brought forth promise. He descended like a dove upon the sun. He fell like fire in the upper room, and he still fills those who hunger and thirst. No prison can restrain his freedom. No darkness can extinguish his light. No wilderness can silence his whisper. No valley can exhaust his comfort. No broken vessel can outrun his restoring. He's eternally present. He's infinitely powerful. He's perfectly faithful. He's wonderfully gentle. He's gloriously mighty. He's unfailingly holy. That's Holy Spirit. He convicts the sinner. He comforts the broken. He strengthens the weary. He intercedes for the speechless. He teaches the willing. He reveals the hidden. He guides the uncertain. He counsels the confused. He empowers the powerless. And he fills the empty. That's Holy Spirit. He hovered over chaos. He brought forth order. He entered dry bones and brought forth life. He shook prison walls. He opened closed doors. He fell on the fearful and made them fearless. He touched fishermen. He made them preachers. He touched doubters and made them witnesses. Do you know him? Do you know Holy Spirit? He's the fire in the furnace, but the peace in the flames. He's the wind you cannot see, but the power you cannot deny. He's the voice behind you hearing, this is the way, walk in it. He's the oil of gladness, the river of living water, the seal of redemption, the guarantee of glory. That's Holy Spirit. He searches the deep things of God. He reveals what eyes have not seen. He teaches what minds could not discover. He reminds you of what heaven has spoken. He gives power to the weak, boldness to the fearful, peace to the anxious, joy to the mourning, hope to the weary, and strength to the surrendered. He heals wounds men cannot see. He restores hearts medicine cannot touch. He breaks chains iron cannot hold. He revives dreams disappointments tried to bury. He renews minds fear tried to corrupt. He transforms lives sin tried to destroy. That's Holy Spirit. He doesn't merely improve a man, he transforms him. He doesn't merely advise the believer, he leads him. He doesn't merely visit the heart, he indwells in it. He doesn't merely stir emotion, he changes desires. He doesn't merely point to truth, he reveals it. Do you know him? He'll lead you through the wilderness and still be at your be the cloud by day. He'll sit with you in sorrow and still become your comfort by night. He'll rebuke what destroys you, but never abandon what belongs to him. He'll break you free from bondage and teach your feet to walk in freedom. I wish I could describe him to you. He is indescribable. He's undeniable. He's unquenchable. He's unstoppable. You can't grieve him. Oh, you can grieve him, but you can't replace him. You can ignore him, but you can't outrun him. You can resist him, but when he moves, dead things live, dry things bloom, hard hearts soften, blind eyes open, the captives sing. That's Holy Spirit. Powers have tried to silence him. Empires have tried to suppress him. Religion has tried to contain him. But revival keeps proving you can't lock him out. Tradition can't tame him. Hell can't intimidate him. Darkness can't overcome him. That's Holy Spirit. He has always been and he always will be. Before the mountains were formed, he moved. Before the church had language, he spoke. Before you ever had a struggle, he knew. And after your storm has passed, he'll still remain. I'm talking about the one who comforts without tiring, leads without failing, speaks without trembling, fills without running dry, transforms without limitation. That's Holy Spirit. And when the saints are gathered and the redeemed are singing, the Lamb receives his glory, the Spirit will come saying, come. Power belongs to God. Glory belongs to God. Victory belongs to God. And the Spirit keeps pointing to the Son forever and ever and ever. And when we get through all our forevers, that's Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Amen.